Good evening, everyone. Merry Christmas. What a great night to come together and celebrate the incarnation of our Lord. It's just an incredible night, always one of my favorite services of the year, and we welcome everyone. My name is Rich. I'm part of the pastoral team here at North Central, and you'll hear me share in just a moment some of the reasons that I always love this service. It's always one of my favorites of the year, and it's not just because it's shorter than others. It's a very special, wonderful night as we come together to celebrate. You know, if you're here visiting, there is a QR code in the seat in front of you. So if you want to let us know your name and information, you can sign in there so you can connect with us and see some things at North Central. We won't bomb you with all kinds of emails or follow up, but we just like to get to know folks and get to connect with our folks who are visiting. But one of the reasons why this is one of my favorite services of the year, and I'll connect it to some of the things you should expect tonight, because I'm someone who, when I go somewhere, I kind of like to know what's going on, and this is different than our normal service. But how many of you have been impacted by the busyness of the season? Anybody? You know, I know we hosted 7 different events at our home this month. My son-in-law, I think, said he had 8 business things to go to for different holiday parties, Christmas parties. There's a lot of stuff. My wife walked into Wegmans yesterday, said she almost got run over. You know, there's people everywhere. There's carts everywhere. Every line is open. Christmas cards, decorating, visiting with friends, being at church, being involved in activities. It gets busy. But one of the things I love about this service is it lets us slow down for just under an hour to kind of focus on the reason for the season, our Lord and Savior Jesus. So tonight, I encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity to focus on Him, to put your eyes on Him. We slow down for that little while as we focus on Him, and there's a song, O Come All Ye Faithful, and in the refrain it says, come, let us adore Him. Well, tonight, let us come and let us adore our Lord and Savior. A couple of action words for you tonight as we're here. One, we're going to have a chance to sing some beautiful Christmas hymns. Pastor Jonathan and the music team will lead us. Please participate. Chance to praise our Lord who came to earth for us, a bunch of knuckleheads, desperately in need of a Savior. And Jesus came and gave His life for us. Praise God for that. Listen to some readings from members of our church. Again, open your ears, open your hearts to what the Lord might have for you tonight. Watch some videos that point us to Jesus. Listen to Pastor Dan share a brief message that, again, will point us to the Lord this evening. And pray, as we're going to do right now, to open the service and also celebrate the gift of Jesus. Celebrate the gift of Christmas, not just today, not just tonight, not just tomorrow, but hopefully as a regular part of your routine in your life. So as we bow our heads just for a moment, I'm just going to pray very briefly. Lord, I just ask that You'd slow us down tonight. We've all been busy, many of us doing really good things, wanting to bless others, encourage others, help others. But Lord, tonight, help us just to focus on You. I know a lot of us have other things going on later, but right now, clear our minds, open our hearts, open our ears to hear from You, that You would impact us and that we would rejoice in who You are, Lord. We give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Thank you.
Let's stand together and sing our first Christmas hymn. Thank you. seated.
A distant promise. In the beginning, God created everything, and it was perfect. Deceived, humanity rebelled against God and continued to walk in brokenness. God made a great promise to restore the relationship and atone for humanity's sin. So God sent men to share his promise. These men were called prophets. The prophets proclaimed the promise of rescue, so God's people waited in hope. Silence broken. After many generations, the voices of the prophets stopped, and there was only silence. For 400 years, the people of God waited and wondered if they'd ever again hear God's voice. The years of silence were broken when God sent an angel to a priest named Zechariah. Unable to have children, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth would have a son named John. His promise fulfilled prophecy that John would lead God's people and prepare the way.
Would you stand and sing with us?
Soul felt its worth. After, God sent the angel Gabriel to visit a young Jewish girl named Mary. Mary was frightened, but Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Gabriel told her that she had found great favor with God and she would be blessed. She was going to give birth to a king. The child would be the anticipated Son of God. In humble belief, Mary responded, "I am your servant."
Mary was betrothed, that is, engaged, to be married to an honorable man named Joseph. When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he didn't believe. She couldn't be pregnant because Mary was a virgin. So God sent an angel to convince him that this was good. This was the work of the Holy Spirit. Joseph believed God and took Mary as his wife.
Thought she'd come with a crown of gold, a string of pearls, a cashmere rose. We thought you'd clench an iron fist and rain like fire on the politics, but without a sword, no God, but common born in mother's arms, the government now rests upon the shoulders of this baby son. Have you no room inside your heart? The inn is full, the out is dark, but upon the trophy shines sacred sun, not ashamed to be one of us. But without a sword, no armor, God, but come upon the shoulders of this baby son. Gloria, hallelujah, Christ the Lord, we long for you. Gloria, hallelujah, Christ the Lord, for you, Lord.
an unlikely rescuer. Ready to give birth, Mary and Joseph were forced to return to Bethlehem. Unable to find room at the inn, their only option was to stay out in the stable. After giving birth, Mary wrapped the child in swaddling cloths and placed him in a manger. Fulfilling hundreds of years of prophecy, Messiah is here. His name is Jesus. The wait is over and the silence is broken. God with us. The longing. The birth announcement of Jesus changed everything. History was interrupted. As news spread of the birth of the Messiah, many traveled to worship the promised king. Some 30 years later, before returning to be with the Father, Jesus fulfilled everything necessary for humanity's rescue. Jesus is with us, but now we long to be with him in his glory. In celebration, preparation, and humble anticipation, we wait.
For as long as we've existed, there's been light. The sun by day, the moon by night. But God made a promise to all mankind. A greater light would come. The hue of galaxies diverse, lit with supernova burst, there has long existed light across the universe. But a greater light would come. Isaiah spoke the Father's plan on those living in the land of darkness. Hope shall descend. The greatest light would come. Then beneath the Christmas star it came. This blazing light of God was named Jesus. Heavenly hosts proclaim, the greatest light has come. Emmanuel, our God with us, with endless power and fire of love, of equal brilliance there is none. The greatest light has come. This light, unlike any other, sinners saved by mercy's cover, turning enemies into brothers, the greatest light has come. A light that wakes the sleeping nations, draws the billions to salvation, light of Christ, our firm foundation, the greatest light is come. In this light, the blind are seeing. In this light is life's true meaning. Those once dead, alive, and singing. The greatest light is come.
To reconcile. I know that singers like to sing and readers like to read and prayers like to pray, but I get the best part of the service, in my humble opinion. An unlikely rescuer. An unlikely rescuer. A rescuer that was unlikely. Can't be overstated. She gave birth to her firstborn son. Can you read that over there? She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. Because there was no lodging available for them. Max Lucado, who is a prolific word picture author, he said, "The king was born in the humblest place imaginable. If it had been any more humble, the floor would have been dirtier, the straw scratchier, and the air would have had to been colder. But otherwise, this is how he chose to come." The manger location, this word here, manger, this location means something. This location and context means something specific for us. If you were a Hebrew family, you would most likely have a manger. It would be carved in the stone. It might be in a cave, but many Hebrew families had mangers in the lower level of their home. So imagine, I'm sure a lot of us have some things in our lower level that are unusual. Hebrew families would have a stable in their lower level, and they would have carved into the stone a trough to feed the animals that they were stabling. And again, let me repeat, that would be in the lower level of their home. Humans are living in a house, and under the house where the animals are feeding, that's where we find an unlikely rescuer. The manger isn't fit for a child. The manger's not fit for a human. You would never find in that manger a king. You would never find a king in the lower level of somebody's home who has been stashed among the animals. You would never see it. But tonight, that manger held the promised rescuer of the human race. Why a messy manger? Jesus' arrival, we know this through prophecy, and we know this through the details of the prophecy. We know that God's plan wasn't a set of random circumstances. We believe that God's plan was an exact and very precise plan. The king of all kings chose to arrive with animals. Why would he do that? What's the plan? What's the point? Why these details? Why these specifics? It's because God wants to show us that he came to meet us, not in our cleanest places, not in the places that we have the most pride in, not in the places that we project the most dignity, but in our messiest and in our most broken parts of our lives. This message is coming across clear, that the manger says, I've come to meet you, and I'm going to meet you in the messiest place that you would ever suspect and expect. You would not suspect to find the rescue of the world coming into our messiest and most broken places of our life, But this is a message that's being communicated by the creator of the universe, that Jesus' birth in a manger challenges all of the human pride. And it challenges all of the worldly ideas of what power is. Jesus flipped those ideas upside down. You know of worldly power. You've seen worldly influence. You've seen the pride of life, and you've seen royalty, and you've seen magnificent influence. And here Jesus comes, and he turns it all upside down. What kind of king is this? What kind of king could this be? Jesus is the only king who comes not to take your treasure, but to give you his. By the way, if a king shows up in your town in ancient biblical history, the king didn't come to share his wealth with you. If the king shows up in your town, the king is there to take your treasure. The king is there to take the treasure of all of the conquered people. And in the first time in all of history, we come across this king who was sent, and he specifically sent to bring his treasure, his union with the Father, to the people. Not to take our treasure, but instead to give us his. And who does he does that for? Those who recognize their need for him. Those who recognize their need for him. The messy manger is not just a detail in the story. It's actually the message. The location of Jesus' birth shows us God meets us in our messiest mess, and when he does so, he's there to offer you hope and healing and restoration and reconciliation back to the God who created you. Messy manger is a message that's extended to us on purpose. If Jesus came on purpose to a lowly manger, he comes on purpose into the messy places of your life. If he didn't want to come into the messy places in your life, he wouldn't have shown up in a manger. He would have shown up in the highest throne, in the highest highlands, in the strongest, the mightiest kingdom and empire. But instead, he shows himself to the lowliest of lows. And there's an invitation for us. Every single season, when we get to this part of our Christmas season, we should interpret this season as a renewed invitation. Another invitation, especially to those who are lowly, left out, messy and messed up, broken, some would say, especially those who are suffering on the inside. Now think about who this good news was announced to. If you know the Christmas story, we've mentioned it a couple different times. We saw it depicted in the video art. But you remember who the first announcement came to about this manger child, this king that had been born to a manger? The announcement came first and directly to the shepherds. Who are they? Well, they're outsiders who live in the outskirts of society. They are specifically ordinary people, the overlooked people. And after the birth announcement to the shepherds, the gospel writer Luke, he says this: they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. The very first people to be introduced to Jesus are the most outsiders, the most outskirts. And what did they do? Their response was to hurry to the stable. They raced to receive this king. They didn't bring gifts to impress. I mean, they didn't take time to go shower. They didn't take time to get their religious resume together so that when they brought it to Jesus, they could say, "By the way, King Jesus, I know you are little, but we have a huge religious resume. My parents, they were very religious people. Instead, they simply came just as they were, and they brought their unclean smells with them. They brought with them their smells of loneliness, outsiderness. And that's how God's kingdom works. It works not for the pure, and not for the polished, and not for the powerful, and not for the perfect. It's for the humble and the broken. That's who Jesus arrived to meet. That's who Jesus arrived to care for in a manger. And that's who the shepherds hurried off to see. People who know and confess that they don't have it all together. People know who know and confess that they genuinely, they really do need some help. So they hurry to this humble king. And like these shepherds, there's an invitation to you. There's an invitation for each of us to hurry to this rescuing king. Hurry yourself there. Don't delay. Don't drag your feet. Rush to let Jesus all the way into your heart. Years ago, I was invited over by a church family, no one here, a different church, and we rang the doorbell and waited a long time. We waited so long, we started to do the kind of thing like, uh-oh, no one's home, they forgot. Worse yet, wrong day, wrong time. This is before cell phones, so we were like got a smoke signal together, and we were sending the smoke signal up to try to get any kind of signal here, and we waited and waited and waited, and finally, just about the time we were thinking we better just come back later and, you know, make the call and find out what happened, door opens up. And the host of the home, she's a little, come on in. And she goes on to tell us, I'm sorry to make you wait. I was cleaning up. When you rang the doorbell, I realized I hadn't cleaned the kitchen. So all of my dirty dishes and all my dirty pans, they're in the oven. Just put them in there. And she went on to explain, to us that she didn't want her pastor to know how dirty her kitchen was. And I was like, well, thank you for that respect, because ours is immaculate all the time. My wife keeps a... It's very, very reasonable to believe that there are people here among us, there are people watching online who in some way, shape, or form are continuing to attempt to clean up their life, clean up the dishes of their thoughts, the dishes and the kitchen and the pots and the pans of their behavior, and they're trying to get it right. They're polishing and they're prepping and they're cleaning before they bring them to God, bring themselves to God. You have a rescuing, saving king who came to us in a manger, and the first invite goes to the stinky shepherds. And today, I want to invite you to hurry yourself to Jesus and don't delay any longer polishing your attitudes and polishing your behavior and polishing your manners and polishing your virtue and polishing your morals. Get to Jesus in a hurry. You are the kind of person he came for. The very first, the very kind of person who says, I recognize my kitchen isn't clean, my pots are not presentable, my dishes are all spilled out everywhere, and I don't want to make the mistake of rushing up to God like I'm anybody. Jesus didn't come for anybody. He came for all the nobodies. And he made his appearance in a manger. Why? So that when you and I read that word, we say, that's me. That's me. Man, I have said, done, thought, and believed some stinky things. And our Jesus knew that you and I would need a rescuer just like him. Today, be careful not to keep him out while you clean up. Be careful not to keep him up, keep him out while you're cluttering up your life. Daily, hurry to Jesus. Hurry without delay. No dragging your feet. God invites you to receive him tonight. You don't have to be religious or moral or polished or perfect. You don't have to fix your life first. Often, when somebody's described or someone's explaining to me why they haven't seen me in a long time, they have a little caveat. And the caveat is some level of explanation of how they're really having a hard time and they don't want to come to church until they're not having a hard time anymore. And I think to myself, I mean, this is why the church exists. We gather as a collection of people who are having a hard time. You imagine? There was a king who was born in a messy manger, and he was expecting to meet you every day in your messy life. Right here, right now, he was expecting to. Jesus in a manger reminds us one thing, that God didn't stay distant from us, that he came in deep, the light that came into the dark, and the darkness could not overcome it. And God didn't stay distant from us. He stepped into history, into a mess. He can step into your story, and he can bring you hope and restoration, hope and healing, starting with reconciling you from being separate from God, from being in right relationship with God. Believe and receive the rescuing King. Be reminded today that we're not just asking. If you already belong to Jesus, we're not trying to compel you to just take another look. We're trying to remind you and compel you today to open the door of your messy heart and let him in to bring transformation. Let him take messy, broken pieces and fill them with his peace and his love. Would you pray with me? Father, today we have so many different lives represented here. You know the kinds of messes that we're in. You know the kinds of messes that are going on in our hearts, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. You know the kind of messes because you love us. And you are our Heavenly Father. And we pray today that you would find hearts that are open to this rescuing Savior who came in humility and who offered forgiveness and hope. And we pray that everyone today, each and every single person here, would hurry themselves to receive him. Not just as a part of our Christmas storytelling, but as a king of their lives. We know you can do it. We trust you to do it, and we pray that you would, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing Silent Night together, so if you have your candles nearby, I also want to mention something that if you would like to get to know more about this rescuing Savior Jesus, we have a gift for you. On the doors on the way out, the windows, the sill has some books. It's the Gospel of Luke. We'd love you to take it with you, The Essential Jesus, and read and discover who he is on your own. Everybody have their candle? Everybody do your fake lighting with the person next to you? It's like old times. Remember when we used to do this? Pour our wax all over our clothes? Father, we're going to sing our hearts out. And we pray that it would come from a genuine faith. So tonight, if you've maybe you have sung these carols on volume 6, now's your chance to hit that 10. Brett, 11 for you, okay? You got a lot to sing about. 10 out of 10, let it fly. And the Silent Night is a reminder that it It may not be silent in the world. It may not be silent in your life. It may not be silent in your home. But there is some sense of peace and joy on the inside because of our rescuing Savior, and we're going to sing that together. Do you understand? Would you stand with us? Things I want to tell you about real quick. Number one, right nearby your seat before you leave, we have a little announcement card, invitation card about our next message series coming up in January called Follow Me. And you're all invited to come along and discover what Jesus meant in the book of Mark when he said, come follow me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And we're going to do a 16-week journey through the book of Mark. And you have this to remind you. You have this to give away and invite someone to. And we would love for you to join us and take that journey with us. On your way out, we want to invite you to stay a while for cookies. And while you're here, take some pictures together in the photo booth. And enjoy some time with your family among the church family. Ready to turn that candle off? And go. And may you sense God's peace, joy, and rescuing grace in your heart and in your home tonight. God be with you.